Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, we get a lot of opportunities here on this program to interview some pretty fantastic singer-songwriters. But before we say yes to them, we always ask ourselves first, can this singer-songwriter, musician, band member, or whatever, do more than simply plug their latest album? Have they got something more to say? Well, you've got to say that the guy we're going to have next on the show certainly can. He's responsible for songs like this. His name, of course, is Vibo Norman. And he's been around for a while now. Came onto the scene in, what, the kind of mid-90s, early 90s, and is very well known now for the depth of his lyrics and the beauty of his melodies, and also for the honesty of his soul, I guess. He's not afraid to write and speak and sing about the rough patches of life, the challenges of marriage, the down times, even his own struggle with anxiety. So I'm looking forward to our conversation with Vibo Norman, because he's on the line now. Vibo, welcome to Open House.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys having me.
You know, there's always been a greater purpose to what you do than simply stepping up onto the stage and strumming the guitar. I think back to your early days with the Young Life organization, where you were, you know, right from the beginning wanting to reach hearts.
Well, you know, I appreciate you saying that, only because music, in other words, has always been something for me that's been much more about, I don't know if this will make sense, but much more about relationships than just playing music. Mm. And even, strange as it may sound, even relationships with people that I might not even know. You know, my hope has always been that to play a concert live, especially when I play kind of my more acoustic shows, that it feels less like a concert and more like a conversation. To me, music is really just to facilitate conversation, and conversation is really to facilitate relationship, and to me, relationship is what really communicates faith.
Yeah, well, the latest album is simply titled Vibo Norman, your 8th studio album now. I just want to touch on some of the songs you've got on there and some of the themes that run through the album, because what I have appreciated about your work is the fact that you have strived to have some depth in your lyrics, not just hands in the air, life is fine. There's a song there called Ruins. The lyric goes, "Let my ruins become the ground you build upon, let my ruins become the start." I mean, this kind of notion of the grittiness of life, I guess, the downsides, the difficulties, and how they can be redeemed. Explore that.
Well, I mean, that you really, in so many ways, really just said it all. That song in particular, the song Ruins, sort of inadvertently became kind of the cornerstone for this entire record. I don't usually set out to write a record with a theme in mind. In fact, I don't think that I've ever set out to write a record with a particular theme in mind, but every single record, once I sit down and begin to kind of examine the songs as we're making the record, it's almost inevitable that a sort of theme emerges. And it's almost like I learn what I'm kind of going through by looking at the songs that I'm writing, you know.
You actually learn about yourself through listening to your own songs. That's fascinating, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It kind of boggles my mind occasionally, just because I've always joked that songwriting for me are like my own little personal therapy sessions, you know, and that's that's why I started writing songs, not to play them for other people, but just to
work yourself out.
Process.
So, Vibo, is there something to that, though? Is there something into the fact that we find it very, very hard sometimes to work out what's going on in our lives, and yet the music, the lyrics, when you actually allow your soul to just let out what's on its mind, if I want to mix some metaphors there a little bit, in the sense that that's how we then start to understand, well, what is actually going down at the subterranean level?
No question. And that is why I can say in complete honesty that I feel like music has been just an absolute gift in my life. Not necessarily to get to play it for people. That is very true. It's been an absolute gift and a dream to get to play music and make a living at it for the last 14 years. Crazy. But the real blessing of it for me is that it really is one of those situations where every couple of years I get to sit down and collect these ideas and these thoughts of songs that I've written kind of sporadically over those few years. And every couple of years, I get to have this sort of recap of what that season of life has been like.
Yeah, this is Open House. Bebo Norman is with us, openhouseonline.com.au, for the chat, if you want to pass it on to a friend during the week. Played you a clip at the beginning of Pull Me Out, which was one of the main singles off the album. Remember when I was young and hungry, I had nothing at all but dreams and time to kill. Now I feel like I'm treading water and I'm hardly real. Where did that come from?
Man, when I was writing this particular song, it's just, and just so you know, that particular song, Pull Me Out, is written about sort of the experience in my life of beginning to deal with certain levels of anxiety that I did not know, I don't think, as a younger man, you know. And it's interesting that the deeper we get in life, and in a lot of ways the richer life gets, meaning the relationships in my life right now, I wouldn't trade them for anything. My relationship with my wife, my two boys, my children, and my community here in Nashville, they're just really, really rich relationships. But what's interesting about that is that as life gets a little bit more in-depth relationally and even richer relationally, strangely enough, you kind of have more to lose, you know? And so it has seemed to really facilitate in my life the development of certain kind of anxieties and worries over certain things that that really I don't feel like I had as a younger man. But the truth is, as a younger man, in my, you know, especially in my 20s when I was traveling all over the country and the world, really playing music as a single guy in his 20s, I feel like I had a lot less to lose. But my soul was definitely wandering in a pretty dramatic way then. So it's this strange dichotomy that I feel like I get more and more anchored and as my soul gets a little bit more grounded as I get older, it, relationally and spiritually, there's some level of that at the same time feels like it's less in control, if that makes any sense, because there is more to lose, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the anxiety that you mentioned there, I mean, it has actually been clinically diagnosed as an actual disorder that you're wrestling with. When do you most feel it?
Well, that's the crazy thing in my mind, and it's been something that I struggled with for years without being able to, you know, put my finger on it. I could never define what exactly was happening, but the real diagnosable kind of anxiety for me, oddly enough, has been around the act, literally the physical act of singing. And so it has nothing to do, which is the irony in that to me is that's the one thing in my life that has never, I've never really had to think much about it.
Yes.
You know, it's just something that's always kind of come natural to me. And the truth is it has nothing to do with being in front of people. It has nothing to do with performing. I don't feel nervous to play shows. Again, it's been a lot of years of doing that. But the act of singing itself became this real labor. It became this thing of trying to figure out how to breathe and like almost hyper-focusing on that, if that makes any sense. And I mean, I can't even explain to you how much I struggled with that, because to the point where I almost just said, you know what, maybe I'm supposed to be done playing music. Maybe that's what this means, is that this is just my indication that I need to just retire and move on or something. And it's been real interesting to kind of continue to search and struggle and pray through it. So it's something that's been very, very difficult, but also really beautiful, because it is a constant reminder for me that I am truly not in control. And that is, for me, a great gift.
I think anybody who has suffered with, you know, clinically diagnosed anxiety will be able to resonate with what you're saying, and those of us who haven't will just be saying, wow, that sounds really, really difficult. I don't know exactly what he's talking about, but it sounds terrible, to the point where you felt that maybe your singing career was over. Where has this then led you with the depth of your faith, or the reckonings with your faith? Because again, sometimes we can have this notion that we come to Jesus Christ, he enters our lives, and we do have this amazing change. But then sometimes there are these other things. You kind of go, okay, God, why do I still wrestle with this, especially when I'm singing for you and I'm reaching hearts for you? And, you know, where has your spiritual life gone in terms of those kinds of questions?
Well, you know, that's been the battle. And like you mentioned earlier, the songs like Ruins and Pull Me Out really came out of that real struggle. I mean, it's been an absolute battle. And the truth is, I sort of I wrestled a lot with it on a spiritual level because I really struggled with that, the notion of exactly what you were saying. Like, why? I get it. I'm not in control. Like, I get it, you know? So now that I know I'm not in control, certainly it's going to go away, you know? Certainly that means that I'm going to be given this freedom again to not have to think or worry about this. And the odd truth of it is that has not been the case. And the reality is for me, again, on a spiritual level is to remind myself on a daily basis that as much as I would like to think and as much as I would like to say 14 years and playing music and I know what I'm doing now and it feels blah, 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 the bottom line is that I'm really not in control. And when it comes down to something very, very simple as the thing that you do for a living and trying to find the breath to breathe, to sing those songs, when you realize that you don't have the ability to do that unless someone or something gives you the ability to do that in that moment, it begins to make you feel, in a healthy way, small enough to realize that there's a God who's bigger than that burden. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. been the thing. I play pretty much every single show I play now, really just praying and trusting that God's going to give me a voice to sing with. Because mm-hmm. sometimes sometimes as immediate as right before I go on stage, I don't feel like I have a voice to sing, and so my prayer is usually fairly desperate, but has been really answered in a resounding way. So it's been pretty, again, crazy but beautiful.
We're talking life with singer-songwriter Bebo Norman. This is Open House right across the nation. Bebo, another of the songs that I want to explore with you is this one.
Brittany, I'm sorry for the lies we told. We took you into our arms, then left you cold. Brittany, I'm sorry for this cruel, cruel world. We sell the beauty but destroy the girl.
Of course, it's called Brittany, and it's a very, very heartfelt song that, I don't know, anybody who's actually really got into the lyrics of that song can see that you're saying something more than just simply writing a letter to Brittany. Tell me again where you were going there with that song.
Yeah, you know, that song was one of those songs that really, in a pretty dramatic way, kind of caught me off guard. I didn't sit down or ever think I would sit down with the intention of writing a song, you know, about Britney Spears. And it was one of those things where I was up late one night and couldn't sleep and was flipping through the news channels, you know, middle of the night, 3 or 4 in the morning. And honestly, I landed on a news story that was a pretty kind of tragic news story back a couple of years ago of stuff that was going on in Britney Spears' life. And the reality is this, that I had, just like a lot of people, sort of watched from afar, watched through the media, just like we all kind of do, at different celebrities or different whatever, and seen, you know, kind of the tabloid version of what their life looks like. And what was interesting about that particular night is that, you know, me not knowing Britney Spears personally at all, I think for the first time ever in my life, I saw her life less as a tabloid story and more as a real life story that was just like mine in so many ways. And it was just odd to look at her through the eyes of Jesus, maybe for the first time, instead of my condescending sort of judgmental eyes. I just landed in a place where I just wanted to apologize for the lies that we tell as a culture to young girls these days about where they're going to get life and identity and hope and all those things from, but also on behalf of the church and believers, and really just from myself, to say, listen, who if not the church, who if not me, as somebody who claims to trust and follow a God who is all about forgiveness and redemption, who if not me is going to approach our culture and engage our culture with compassion instead of judgment, you know? And so that's really where the song was written from and became one that I just felt really proud to get to be a part of, even though it was one that I never would have intended to write in a million years. You know?
That's probably a good sign of where its original source came from then, if you didn't actually expect to write it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I would love to know, has Brittany been able to hear it yet? Have you heard at all about her being able to hear the song?
You know, that was actually one of the things I was most nervous about when I decided to actually record the song, because I didn't play it for anybody for about 3 months after I wrote it, because I just kept thinking, you know, who writes a song about Britney Spears, you know? I didn't know what to do with it. And the truth is, right now, I'm not quite sure I would imagine she's heard it. I haven't heard from her, but I did hear from her mother, which is was really interesting.
Okay.
I got an email from her mom, a message through a friend, basically just saying, just answered my doubts and my questions, and she just basically said that the sentiment and the thought behind the song was something that this very same things that she struggles with, and watching her daughter go through the struggles that she's gone through, and that she just really appreciated my heart and appreciated the song and was real thankful for it. So it was a really sweet message, but it would just was a real relief for me to be given kind of that gift of absolution, you know,
yes.
On some level, of being able to say, okay, that was okay to follow what you felt like you should follow in doing that, but, you know, you just never know. So real thankful to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. One more lyric before we go, and we're going to play Never Saw You Coming in just a minute. But The Only Hope, another track off the album, quote, I want a crumb, but you are a feast. I want a song, but you are a symphony. I want a star, but you are a galaxy. I love the lyrics. It's pointing, obviously, to pretty much an unfathomable God, really, isn't it?
Right, right. It would be a very long story to try to tell you the sort of the backstory of that song, but I had a friend who lived in my neighborhood. I lived in a pretty urban part of Nashville for quite a number of years, and had a friend who kind of lived on the streets there near us, and we became friends. And anytime she would get a chance, she would sort of steal the pocket change she could from me or from other people, and it was one of these things that you know, she knew we had decided a long time before that instead of me giving her money, I'd make a sandwich and we'd sit on the front porch and eat it, or I'd take her places and give her rides or whatever. Anyway, long and short is that one particular evening she ended up breaking into our house, oddly enough, and all she took, and this would be considered polite from her, was just the pocket change that she could find around the house. There were computers and TVs and, you know, things like that all over, and she didn't take those things. And a friend of mine who kind of observed it all said, you know, isn't it interesting that she could have asked you for anything in your house if she had needed it, and you would have given it to her. But instead, she, because of her own shame and because of her own history, she snuck in under the cover of night, you know, and settled for just the loose change that she could find. And my friend just said, you know, isn't it interesting that's what we do with God on a daily basis? You know, we literally have the world at our feet in terms of what God offers us. But because of our own shame and our own insecurity, we tend to just settle for the scraps that we can scrape up, you know, when he has an entire feast prepared. And it was an interesting moment, and that's really where that song was born from. And it's one of again one of my favorites to get to play these days as well.
Yeah, Bebo, it's been great talking to you. Do you think we'll ever see you in Australia one day?
Man, I'll tell you what, I would absolutely love it. I really would. And I've talked about it for years, and you know, the when you get married and start having kids and all that, it gets a little bit more difficult to try to make the trip, but I think we're going to try to make it happen. So if we do, we'll have to connect for sure.
We'd love to.
I would love to see that happen.
That'd be wonderful. Well, Bebo Norman, thank you so much for your time. It's been great talking to you.
Hey, you as well. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.